It started with a whisper. What I hope is this is the kind of year where you can declare Carlton as a real deal, and then they surprise you and they shock you and then they get it right again, and it's an absolute cracker of a year.
And Michael Voss, like, why wasn't he coaching an AFL side earlier? How come he missed all of those jobs before the Blues took a punt? It seems to me that he's got players playing their best football.
If you're in footy administration, you have to aspire to something, I think, and that would be to head up the biggest sporting organisation in the country.
They're an embarrassment at the moment. I don't use that word lightly. I really don't know what Essendon stands for at the moment. I think there needs to be a complete and utter review into this club.
On RSN Central, welcome to the Friday Forum.
As always, we enjoy your input here on the Friday Forum, 0416 90 50 52. But what a recruit this man has been. Farah said 927, he's our AFL editor, Mark Stevens. Stevo, good morning to you.
Gareth, fantastic to be here and a big morning for AFL. We've got a decision on the grand final, hot off the presses.
Okay, has it surprised you, this decision?
I am surprised. It's great news if you're a traditionalist.
Yes.
It's a 2:30pm start, ratified by the commission a couple of days ago. They managed to keep that quiet. They've released that news about 8 minutes ago, Gareth. So it is official. The grand final will revert back to the 2:30 start, as it normally is in Melbourne, traditionally around, it was 2:10, probably there for a few years, but 2:30 start, which you'd think now that they're sticking with 2:30 this year, that we're going to stay at 2:30 for quite a while. Because this was the chance that they had
to move it.
We've had COVID and whatever, and we've conditioned to change. Mm-hmm. This was the year, if they wanted to slip it to 4:20, 4:30, they could have made it happen, but it's good to see, really, that we can stick with tradition.
Let us know what you think. 0416 90 50 52. So, Gillon McLachlan and his team headed off to the States to talk to different organisations regarding the next media rights in the AFL. And I would imagine that would have been part of the conversation when they wanted the grand final to be played, because TV ratings are a lot better later on in the day. And that was proven over the last couple of years. But they've gone with the 2:30 time slot. So it surprised me a little bit. I thought that they would break away from that now.
Yeah, everything was pointing towards a breakaway. Yeah. But when you look at it, Gareth, say over a five-year deal, you've got streaming, you've got certain apps and international businesses, whether it's a night or day grand final, I don't think it's going to make a lot of difference to the end number.
I enjoyed personally the twilight fixture for the grand final because, from a racing perspective, you could wake up, you could still enjoy the festivities of what Grand Final Day provides, but there was usually a really good race meeting on that day, and you could watch the races and then get set to watch the football.
Well, yeah, I think this gives you a chance to revel in the footy. You can still do a lunch, you can go to the game, and you can be in the pub by 6 o'clock, Gareth, or you can go straight to the pub, 5:30 after the game. Or
they're big days.
You can have a big celebration, days, yeah. Whereas some of the problem, obviously, with last night, last year, obviously, we were amid COVID and restrictions, but kind of Melbourne won it, and we all went to bed. There was no really one. And with the late grand final, if it was a night grand final, there's no way you could go out and celebrate. Twilight would have been okay. But I'm quite happy with, the 2:30 start. And credit to the AFL, because I thought they were ready to buckle on this one.
They would have buckled if the Channel 7 and Fox Footy wanted a change, wouldn't they?
Well, I think there's no doubt, having worked at 7 and the managing director there, Lewis Martin, knowing him reasonably, I think there's no doubt 7 would prefer a twilight grand final or a night grand final. That's just common sense, business sense from a Channel 7 TV perspective, and the same with Fox, but particularly 7. So my reading of this situation is the AFL, a great relationship with 7, but they said, no, we're not quite ready to go down that road. There's no doubt that 7 would have preferred a twilight grand final.
The AFL must be pretty happy with themselves in the way, from a financial point of view, especially after they've announced that basically the AFLW competition, the players playing in that competition, will get a 50% pay increase next
season. It's 94%, actually.
Yeah.
A little bit more than
that. Doubled it.
So your maths is kind of right there,
yeah,
Gareth.
I stuffed that up.
I know what you mean, though. They've doubled.
So where are they getting that money from?
Well, that's the issue. They've got to find it from somewhere. Budgets are tight in footy. The next TV rights will be big. And the women's game's only going to get bigger. This is a one-year deal, and it'll keep doubling, I think, for a while. When there'll be full-time footballers, over 100,000 a year to play the women's game, which is fair enough. But at the moment, it's only a 10-game season.
From a football perspective, and you're a football lover, would you be concerned with the crowd numbers in the AFL, or you're just looking at the TV numbers, the streaming numbers, Steve-O? How would you, if you're Gillon McLachlan, you're sitting around an executive meeting at the AFL, what are your KPIs?
Well, I know that they obviously look at eyeballs and TV, but they wouldn't be my KPIs. Without the crowds, the footy's nothing for me. It's the vibe of going to the footy. It's the atmosphere. And the crowds, there's no hiding the fact that they're lowest since 2019. So we've obviously been through the COVID. So it's an issue.
I was so sad to hear the news that McDonald Tipper Woody is retiring, of course, the Star Bombers player. I'll give you an example that why I think it's so sad. I went to the football, and he listens to this show, one of my great mates from Assumption College, Nicholas Trenfield, and our captain at the Assumption College, Eric Corrett, and they're big Bombers fans. And we went to the footy to watch the Bombers in Carlton last year, and they were like teenage boys cheering on their idol in McDonald Tipper Woody. They love watching him play. He was the barometer in a way for the Bombers. When he was firing up forward, they were a far better side. And to see him return and not really like enjoy his football playing in the VFL, and the Bombers were getting smashed, it's so sad, because he was one of those players that did make you get everybody involved and give you plenty of excitement to head to the football. He was one of the players that actually made you go to the football.
He was a chase down player, wasn't he? Yep. And he was a great snap and a great set shot. A beautiful kick of the footy. You know, really standard, safe set shot as well, clean in the way he went about it. Look, I'm not really shocked by this news. I know that a lot of people may be surprised. Mm. He came back. He just had battles with his fitness. Weight-wise, he was overweight, just couldn't get the weight off in the VFL level. He was struggling at VFL level, and it's such a long road back, Gareth, you know, with his body shape and whatever, a really long journey back. But what a story, because I remember during the Essendon supplement saga, the media was often camped out at Tullamarine, and he was just a nobody wandering through at that stage with, wow, look at this guy. He's a bit of a cult figure. He was a nobody. He was there just helping out, playing in the twos at that stage. And in the end, he's become, you know, really in many ways the face of Essendon, and they've lost that pizzazz without him there. So I think he'll be at the Dreamtime game Saturday, and no doubt there'll be a special tribute to Waller or Tipper. He's got a few nicknames, but... really good story, and hopefully he can kick on somewhere. He'd be the sort of player that could go to country footy. He could play full forward, come out of the square.
Yeah.
He's a little bloke, he'd kick 100.
He'd kick 15 a game. And it's not rocket scientist, but listening to Brent Harvey, and the Kangaroos aren't travelling well at the moment. We all know that. But he was mentioning that there's only like four Kangaroo players in their VFL side. The Bombers have been hurt big time with their injuries, and a player like McDonald Tipper Woody, who hasn't come up this year, who's so vital to the way that they go about playing some good football. And then you have a look at Melbourne at the other end of the scale. Like, they haven't really got an injury, have they?
No,
their
VFL
side's flying.
They haven't had an injury really of huge significance for probably 18 months.
So you need luck in this
Gorm
competition.
Petrarca, Oliver, Brayshaw, even Viney's come good. He used to be injured. May used to be injured a lot, didn't he? He's playing every game. So really, they've had some great continuity. And if you look at their emergencies in VFL players, the gap now between the haves and the have-nots has probably never been wider, even in this socialist-type competition. So you've got Melbourne and North playing this week under the roof. What would the line be in that game? I would have thought North would be happy to get within 72 points under the roof.
I'm just having a look at that right now. So the line in that match between the Kangaroos and North Melbourne, the Kangaroos are at $17, Melbourne $1.01. The line is at $65.50, $1.90 each.
That's a big line.
I'd take that line every day of the week.
But there's no way you'd touch that $17 for North Melbourne.
No.
That's way too short. Gareth, that should be...
$1 million.
Well... It's crazy. But anyway, it should be 170-1, but they'll have a crack. The issue at North is Jaden Stevens is on a 5-year deal.
He gets dropped from that side.
And you say they've only got four or five players left in the VFL. So how's he going to go back, really, in a weak Kangaroos VFL team and get some confidence and continuity and some run and dash into his footy? So he's got another 3 years left after this.
So what's he doing wrong to get dropped from that side?
Well, I just don't think he's been consistent enough, and particularly his
attack
on the footy.
Okay.
If you watch him at times, maybe he just seems to have lost confidence. remember in 2018 what a player he was. Of course, he won the Rising Star in his first year. And I remember sitting at the 2018 Grand Final, his first quarter was electrifying. He was on top of the world.
He was the most exciting
young player in the comp. I remember him streaming through 50 and slotting a goal, Collingwood up by 5 goals. They ended up losing, and it's all been downhill for Stevenson since.
Who's got the most to lose? Put your news cap on here. You're the chief of staff at Channel 7. Mm. Who are you doorstopping come Monday morning if they get defeated?
I think there's two options here. Always used to like sort of sorting the doorstops out. So there's two options. If Essendon loses by 6 goals plus and are insipid again, that's where the media is. They're at Tullamarine.
Or Ben's place.
Yeah. Yep. So that it depends how they lose. I think they will lose. Depends how they lose. If they lose by a goal or two, everyone's happy.
Okay.
If the Bulldogs get rolled by Gold Coast, their season's pretty much on the edge of a cliff.
Okay.
And there's perhaps some action out at Barclay Street. There might be a few journos hiding behind the trees near the childcare centre there waiting for players.
Would you be brave enough to dual stop Luke Beveridge after a big loss?
No. He's one guy you wouldn't go to. No. It's often the best coaches are the crazy ones.
You would send out the first year journalist to Channel 7 once you see you later.
Well, the day Mick Malthouse got sacked, I sent Tommy Brown out, actually. He did a good job. Chased him through the Princess Park playground next door.
Tony Jones used to send me out there to doorstop. I remember I had to go and doorstop Ben Cousins a few times. In fact, chased him into a practice match at Victoria Park when the Tigers took on Richmond.
Yep.
And I reckon I said, mate, because I was a little bit nervous, I said, mate, how you going? He just kept on walking, cuz. And I would have said, mate, about, I think they recorded about 30 times.
Did they run it?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember
he said a couple of words.
I remember when Gaff whacked Brayshaw. I remember he came over for a court case. We found where he was meeting his lawyers.
Okay.
So we're in a car across the street, and I've jumped out in the suit and chased across with a camera guy and asking questions at the lights. And the camera guy's tapping me, Steve-o, it's not working. It's not working.
Nothing worse.
No, the microphone
didn't work.
I couldn't say, can you just hold on a second? We'll get this. So we got it slightly on. We had the subtitle.
Yeah.
And then I remembered that I'd dropped the microphone about an hour earlier. Yeah. So it was my fault. And it was not working.
Steve-O special this weekend.
I'm just having a look at this. I think Freo will win very comfortably over in Perth. I think Collingwood have hit the wall. So I think Freo to cover the line.
All right. Then what about... that's your special. Any other news floating around that we should know about ahead of this weekend's football, round 10?
Throwing further ahead, talk about the fixture. Round 16, 17, there's going to be Thursday night games. Brisbane Dogs, round 16 in Brisbane. Geelong, Melbourne, round 17, Thursday night. So there's some detail coming out around that floating fixture. Do we really need to be still floating the fixture now?
I think it works because we get a... We get proper matches Thursday and Friday, and you get 6 weeks
to... We roughly know what the good games are. People need some certainty.
Well, you get 6 weeks. How long do you need?
If I want to get on a Jetstar plane to go and watch the Dogs play Brisbane, I need some time. I want to book it.
You've got six weeks to do it.
No, but some people like to get in early. The specials... Okay. You know, Gareth, we're not all staying at the Hyatt like you.
You still get specials 6 weeks out.
Yeah, but you want to organise yourself. You've got to organise your life. You've got weddings and that to work around, parties... all those type of things. So, I'm sort of interested in Mason Cox as well this week. Probably his last roll of the dice.
Good luck to
Big
Mason.
Coxie. I like the guy. He'll have the glasses on over in Perth, and apparently he's going to ruck a little bit more, so he'll be up against Big Darcy. So good luck to Mason Cox.
No excuses this time around, Mason. Hey, Steve, your election prediction before we let you go, because you are our political editor as well.
I think we might. I've got a lot. Who's the backup political guy here?
Matty Nevitt, he likes his politics.
Yeah, well, he's got R.M. Williams on today, Matty Nevitt, so clearly he's voted Nationals.
Correct.
He's even got an R.M. Williams belt buckle on. But I think the Libs will get up, but we may not know going to bed. There's so much pre-polling, Gareth. You've voted?
Yes.
I've voted. Everyone I know has voted. So and they don't count those votes on the day, so there's going to be a bit of a
lag. We should know by now. If everybody you've talked to has voted.
Wouldn't it be exciting if it was all done in real time? There was a scoreboard ticking over in each electorate as everyone voted.
It is exciting. I love watching the election night. And just quickly before we let you go, there's a few SMSs. I can't get through all of them because it's such a busy show. Hi, does Steva have any idea the total amount the AFL women's sides will cost each club? Is there enough revenue to go around?
We'll get back to that one on Wednesday next week. I'll come in with all the figures and how we can work through that. But it is a bigger cost now. And the staffing of these clubs, because AFL staffers, even media managers, physios and whatever, there's so much work to do at club land. People are tired, Gareth.
They are. The cap on the coaching staff especially is basically nearly exceeding all of their limits at the moment. Those poor assistant coaches working around
the
clock.
Here. It's exploding up with
unbelievable.
Your wage, Gareth. You're going that well. Thanks,
a couple
mate.
Of SMSs, elbow by eight seats, and Morrison's a good thing. So there you go. Even our listeners are divided. Good on you, Steve.
He's coming late, I think. And I reckon that the PM might have tackled that kid on purpose.
And just quickly,
he went for it.
How did the boys go with the Rising Sun last night?
Yeah, the $500 on the bar didn't last too long. The guys went for the pints and I left money in the jar. I didn't leave my credit card there because young Will, he didn't want me to hang around for too long. He kept looking, Dad, I think it's time you
see
left.
See you later, Dad.
Yeah.
Good on you, Steve. Enjoy
Thanks,
your
Gareth.
Weekend. There's Mark Stevens, our AFL editor.